Welcome to our Bible study on a brief overview of Synoptic Gospels. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels because they include many of the same stories, often in a similar sequence and in a similar or sometimes identical wording. They stand in contrast to the Gospel of John, whose content is largely distinct. But before I explain synoptic, I'll say a word about gospel. The gospels do not claim to be objective histories. They are proclamations of good news. The term gospel comes from the Old English word for good news, which in turn was based on the Greek word evangelion, which is in New Testament times did not refer to a book or a writing, but to a proclamation or message, such as a victory in battle, and it means good announcement. The Gospels are proclaiming the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The title Gospel was not originally a part of the title, but was added later, probably around the 2nd century, as a way of distinguishing the various Gospels that were out and about. You may remember in our Bible study on the Gospel of John, chapter 8, that I mentioned there were like 63 documents that circulated as Gospels, as well as numerous Acts, Epistles, and Apocalypses. And these are not new or secret, despite sensationalized marketing titles such as the Lost Books of the Bible. They have been around for a long time. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are sometimes divided by scholars into two groups. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are lumped together as synoptics, and John stands alone by himself. The story of Jesus' life is similarly told in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and are so similar that many scholars believe that one of these Gospels was used as a source for the other two. The Synoptic Gospels are called synoptic from a Latin word, which means seen together, because the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell many of the same stories, often in the same words, frequently following the same order. You can put them in parallel columns next to each other and can compare their stories with one another, and you can see that they're telling the same story. So they're synoptic because they can be seen together. These three Gospels tell the same basic story about Jesus. In two of them, Matthew and Luke, Jesus is born of a virgin in Bethlehem. The Gospel of Mark is different because it does not talk about the birth of Jesus. Mark begins with Jesus as an adult. And once we get to that part of Jesus being an adult, the stories have very similar outlines. Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. He goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He comes back and begins proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God. He teaches the crowds in parables. He performs many miracles, including casting out demons. Halfway through his ministry, he goes up into a mountain in the presence of three of his disciples, and he is transfigured before them on the Mount of Transfiguration. He predicts that he needs to go to Jerusalem to be betrayed and denied and to be put on trial and then executed, but that then he will rise from the dead. He then makes a trip to Jerusalem the last week of his life. He overthrows the tables of the money changers in the temple and causes a ruckus in the temple, which leads to the anger of the high priest, who decides to have him turned over to the Roman authorities. He is turned over to Pontius Pilate, who condemns him to death by crucifixion. Jesus then is crucified, and on the third day he's raised from the dead. You find the same basic story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes within that basic story, you have exact accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There are verbatim agreements. You'll have the same story, word for word agreement. The only explanation as to why you can have this word for word agreement, in the opinion of most scholars, is that one of these gospels is being used as a source for the other two. In other words, there must be copying going on. So, imagine, before the days of COVID, that you are in a lecture hall of 300 students. The professor comes in late, walks to the front of the hall, puts down their briefcase on a table next to the podium, fiddles around with the PowerPoint projector, writes some notes on the whiteboard, and then addresses the class. And the professor asks everyone to write down what they just saw the professor say and or do from the moment that they entered the classroom. Then the professor has everyone pass in their papers, all 300 out of them. Excuse me. And out of those 300, he or she selects four and says, "Now, I want you all to do a synoptic comparison. I'm going to read what each of these four papers have to say, and I want to know what do you think the chances are that two sentences are going to be exactly the same." And then the professor asks, "What would you think would happen if I took up two of these pieces of paper and I had two paragraphs that were verbatim, exactly the same?" Chances are the students are going to say, "Well, somebody copied off from someone else." Exactly. Somebody copied from someone else. And then the professor says, "Now imagine that we didn't do the writing part of this exercise today. Suppose we waited 30 or 40 years, and instead of asking you to write down what happened that day in class, the professor asked friends of yours that you had told about what had happened in class. If the professor then got two accounts that were exactly the same, what would you assume had happened?" And because this is a religious class, let's assume that one of the students says, "It's a miracle." Right. Well, those are the two options, actually. It's either a miracle or somebody's copying somebody else. The thing is, if you explain the similarities on the basis of a miracle, then you're going to have trouble explaining the discrepancies. People don't typically notice the discrepancies among the Gospels because of the way they are read. The way people read the Gospels is they read Matthew. It's about the life and death of Jesus. Then they read Mark, and it sounds a lot like Matthew sounded. Then they read Luke, and that sounds a lot the way Matthew and Mark sounded. When you read them this way, vertically, one at a time, they all sound very much alike. Yet when you read them horizontally, one story in Matthew, then the same story in Mark, and then the same story in Luke, you begin to notice discrepancies that are very hard to reconcile with one another. The longest gospel is the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew has 28 chapters. Luke has 24. John has 21. And Mark is the shortest gospel by far, with only 16 chapters. What scholars think today is that Mark was the first gospel written, and that Matthew and Luke both had access to Mark and used Mark as one of their sources. Matthew and Luke had other sources available to them as well. So now I'm going to try and go visual on you. Obviously, this would be easier if you could see my pie chart, but you can't. So I want you to imagine three plates, or you can draw three circles. But I'm going to be using the plate analogy because it is a pie chart. One plate is very small. The other one is normal, and the third one is a little bit larger than normal. So the small one is Mark, the normal one is Luke, and the largest one is Matthew. Now you can name your circles that way if you want, but we're looking at this as a pie chart. Now, because this is a pie chart, I want you to imagine a pumpkin pie. Why pumpkin? Because this is a very long study, and if I don't finish it by midnight, I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. Ha, ha, ha. Besides, with all of this COVID stuff going on, I've been packing on the pounds, and I'm trying to social distance myself from chocolate. Not really. I can't even have pie, so I don't eat any of it. Anyways, back to the pie. You have a pumpkin pie, and you slice it in three equal slices, and you put it on the three different plates. And when you do, you discover that the pumpkin pie covers 76% of Mark's plate, 41% of Luke's plate, and 46% of Matthew's plate. And those of you who are good at math are going to say, hey, wait a minute, you better get some help from your son, because if Matthew's plate is the biggest, why is the pumpkin pie covering up more of his plate than Luke's? And after I compliment you on your astute observation, I'm going to tell you to please remember this isn't an exact science and to hang on for a bit, because I actually do have an explanation. Okay, back to the pie again. The 76% of Mark, the 41% of Luke, and the 46% of Matthew share a triple tradition. That is, this is the percentage of the same material that is in each of these Gospels. Now, to continue with our pie chart, imagine a small blueberry pie, and you cut it in half, just two pieces, and you put one piece on Matthew's plate, and it covers 24% of his plate, and you put the other slice on Luke's plate, and it covers 23% of Luke's plate. But Mark doesn't get any. No blueberry pie for Mark. The blueberry pie represents a double tradition, material that is only found in Luke and Matthew. As we continue with our pie chart, imagine you have a small apple pie, and again, you only cut it in two pieces. You cut it in half, and you put one piece on Mark's plate, and it covers 18% of his plate, and you give the other to Matthew, but it only covers 10% of Matthew's plate. The apple pie represents the percentage of material that is found only in Mark and Matthew. None of it is in Luke, which is why Luke doesn't get any apple pie. And so now in our pie chart, we have a donut munchkin hole. I know it's a pie chart, but I like to mix things up. I'm a rebel. What can I say? So anyway, you cut the donut hole in half, and you put one half on Mark's plate, and it covers 3% of his plate. And you put the other half on Luke's plate, and it only covers 1% of Luke's plate. And the donut hole represents the material that is found only in Luke and Mark, which obviously isn't very much. And none of it is in Matthew, which is why Matthew doesn't get any donut hole. And now we get to the key lime pie. Yum, yum. And all of it goes to Matthew. He does not have to share it with anyone. And it covers 20% of his plate, because this represents the material that is unique to Matthew, like the sheep and goats parable. And then we get to the pecan pie. And yes, Luke gets all of that pecan pie, and it covers 35% of his plate. And this is material that is found only in Luke, like the prodigal son parable. See, Luke has the most unique original material in his gospel, which is why earlier, when we talked about how Matthew had 46% compared to Luke's 41% of their plates covered with share material, it's because Luke's 35% that is unique is bigger than Matthew's 20% that is unique. Mark and Matthew's shared 10% is bigger than Luke and Mark's 1%. I wonder if this is the 1% that everybody talks about. Probably not. I'm going on too long. And now finally, we get to a cherry tart. See, that's why cherry is last, because of the phrase you put a cherry on it. I'm clever like that. And Mark gets all of the cherry tart. He does not have to share it with anyone, and it covers 3% of his plate. So if you've been keeping score, it goes like this. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest, and he shares 76% of his gospel with Matthew and Luke. And he shares 18% of his gospel only with Matthew. He shares only 3% of his gospel only with Luke. And he has 3% that is unique to him. The Gospel of Matthew is the longest gospel, and he shares 46% of his gospel with Luke and Mark. He has 24% that is shared only with Luke, 20% that is unique to him alone, and 10% is material that he shares with Mark. And the Gospel of Luke shares 41% of his material with Mark and Matthew. He shares 23% of his gospel with Matthew, only 1% with Mark, and the remaining 35% is unique to him. And so that's the synoptic breakdown pie chart. If you're hungry, go get a piece of pie because, well, you deserve it for listening to all of this. But wait, there's more. I'm a Ronco commercial. I'm going to give a 2-paragraph statement about the Gospel of John, even though he's not a synoptic gospel. The Gospel of John is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and does not contain most of the stories found in the synoptic gospels. For example, in John, there's no account of Jesus actually being baptized. There's no account of his birth either. There's no account of him going to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. John never tells a parable in the Gospel of John. Jesus never cast out a demon in the Gospel of John. Jesus does not go up to the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospel of John. Jesus does not have his Last Supper, in which he gives out the bread and wine and says, "This is my body and this is my blood," in the Gospel of John. Jesus is not put on trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin in the Gospel of John. John has a different set of stories and has a different set of miracles, including the first miracle in the Gospel of John, where Jesus turns the water into wine. The only shared miracle is the feeding of the 5,000. John has many dialogues between Jesus and someone else that are found only in John. For example, there is Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus in chapter 3, with the Samaritan woman in chapter 4, and many of Jesus' sayings are found only in John. That's all for now. We'll have to save a study on John for another time. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.